Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Quick hits fill the stocking. As time winds down to help fill the empty stocking fund, will you help the needy in Odessa have a Merry Christmas? The 28th year of the Empty Stocking Fund ends in 11 days with a $100,000 goal to meet the needs in our community. Our current total is $11,658. The fund helps families like that of Mia, a homeless grandmother raising two grandchildren. Her elderly husband is in rehab with spinal stenosis. Funds donated to the Empty Stocking stay in Ector County and help needy families like that of Mia. The Empty Stocking Fund, an annual fundraising effort by the Odessa American and the Salvation Army, will continue through December 17th. Empty Stocking funds go for a good holiday meal and small gifts under the tree for needy seniors and children. Donations to the Empty Stocking Fund may be mailed or delivered to the Salvation Army Community Center, 810 East 11th Street, or the Odessa American 700 North Grant, Suite 800. Zip codes for both are 79761. Call the Salvation Army at 332-0738. The Empty Stocking Fund was created by the Odessa American in 1995 and has raised more than $2.1 million. Donate online at tinyurl.com/YUD3KC3T. Poinsettia Sale, the annual Ector County ISD Horticulture Program's Poinsettia Sale, will take place through December 15th at the ECISD Agriculture Farm, 7649 West Dunn Street. The price range will be $5 for small plants and $10 for the larger ones. Visit tinyurl.com/3AUAN6VM. Free blood pressure and glucose screenings. The Medical Center Hospital Family Health Clinic West University, 6030 West University Boulevard, has scheduled a free blood pressure and glucose screenings from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. each Tuesday through December 27th. Visit tinyurl.com/2YVKB55C. Synergy Toy Drive. Synergy Entertainment has scheduled the annual Toy Drive. This event offers a guest a choice of a $10 game card or a free small popcorn in exchange for a toy valued at $8 or more. Visit tinyurl.com/2P9AVXR4 or tinyurl.com/YCYTBZM8. Man claims partial leg loss at Walmart. An Ector County man has filed a lawsuit against Walmart claiming his leg was partially amputated when he was struck by a loaded pallet jack being driven by a store employee. According to the lawsuit filed last week in Ector County District Court, Samuel Tarango was sitting on a Walmart scooter in the electronics section of the Walmart on Loop 338 when the December 14, 2020 incident happened. As a result of the unreasonably careless and dangerous use of the heavy pallet jack loaded with electronics, plaintiff Samuel Tarango sustained severe injuries, including the partial amputation of his right leg, the lawsuit states. Tarango's attorney, Jeffrey Richter of San Antonio, alleges, in part, Walmart failed to establish property safety procedures, failed to provide adequate warnings to customers, and failed to establish appropriate height limitations on loads so pallet jack operators have clear viewing zones for customers. He alleges Walmart was negligent when it came to hiring and training its employees. Tarango and his wife, Tanisha, who witnessed the incident, are seeking more than $1 million in damages. Walmart released the following statement via email. We want all of our customers to have a safe and enjoyable shopping experience. We will respond as appropriate in court once we are served. Odessan accused of hitting bicyclist. A bicyclist was critically injured Saturday night in what law enforcement officials are saying was a drunk driving crash. According to a Texas Department of Public Safety report, dispatchers received a call about a bicyclist being struck by a pickup truck at 67th Street and Dixie Boulevard. When troopers arrived on the scene, two witnesses said they saw a Chevrolet pickup hit the bike from behind. They told the troopers the driver got out of the truck, told them he'd been drinking and had to leave, the report stated. The two witnesses further stated they knew the driver to be James Thomas Allen, 32, and provided the troopers his address, according to the report. When a trooper arrived at the home, he found the pickup truck, but was told Allen was not there, but he was on the phone, the report stated. The trooper wrote in his report that an extremely emotional Allen told him where he was and had slurred speech and red glassy eyes when he arrived. He told the trooper he'd been driven to a liquor store. The trooper noted Allen, who smelled strongly of alcohol, blew .18 on a portable breath test. Allen fled on foot after being placed under arrest, but was caught and forcibly detained, the report stated. Allen performed poorly on a field sobriety test and admitted he was drunk and shouldn't have been driving, the trooper wrote in his report. Allen was arrested on suspicion of failure to stop and render aid, resulting in serious bodily injury, intoxication, assault, and evading arrest. Two of the charges are third-degree felonies, punishable by 2 to 10 years in prison. He was booked into the Ector County Jail around 7 p.m. Saturday and released Sunday after posting surety bonds totaling $22,000. Pecos man dies in rollover. A 19-year-old Pecos man was killed Friday night in a rollover crash on Interstate 20. According to the Texas Department of Public Safety, Christopher E. Ortiz was driving a Ford Explorer west on I-20 when it veered into the center median, went into a skid, and rolled 7 miles west of Barstow. Ortiz, who wasn't wearing a seatbelt, was thrown from the vehicle and pronounced dead at the scene of the crash, which happened around 10:15 p.m. Three arrested and accused in drug case. A trio of Odessa residents was arrested Thursday on a felony drug charge following an undercover operation. According to Odessa Police Department report, detectives learned someone in the 1,000 block of Monterey Avenue was distributing oxycodone pills laced with fentanyl and sat outside the home in an undercover police vehicle. After seeing people in a Ford Explorer go to the house and leave a short time later, detectives followed them, the report stated. They stopped the Ford at Summer Avenue and Clement Street for a traffic violation. During a search of the vehicle, detectives found 2 baggies of oxycodone pills laced with fentanyl called M30s, according to the report. Because the pills weighed more than 12 grams, Jason Maldonado, 38, Juan Silvas, and Jeanette Vigil, 31, were arrested on suspicion of manufacture or delivery of a controlled substance, a first-degree felony punishable by 5 years to life in prison. Maldonado's bond was set at $80,000, but he is also being held without bond for failing to appear in another drug possession case last month, court records show. Ector County court records also show prosecutors have asked a judge to revoke Maldonado's probation in a theft case. He's also got a second theft case pending, along with separate marijuana possession and forgery cases. Silvas remained in the Ector County Jail on a $60,000 bond in the OPD case and a $5,000 bond in a Ward County drug case. Vigil remains in custody on a $50,000 surety bond. Riveting testimony in Odessa trial. Alexia Estrada was scared in the early morning hours of March 7, 2022. Nathan Sandoval had spent an hour in her living room, armed with a pistol, demanding to know where his daughter's mother, Abigail, was before leaving. And Estrada was terrified he was going to show up again to find Abigail in her apartment. Her worst fears came true about 36 hours later, Estrada told a jury Monday afternoon. After helping her carry in some groceries, Estrada said Abigail Leyva went to move her car to an assigned spot at the Golden Crest Apartments on Tanglewood Lane. I heard a big bang and I heard somebody scream, Estrada said. When she ran to her apartment window, she saw Leyva sitting in her car and Sandoval trying to get inside. I screamed for Abigail's mom and I ran outside, Estrada said. As soon as I got to the car, he was closing the door and taking off. She chased the car all the way through the apartment complex's parking lot, but watched helplessly as he turned onto Tanglewood. I thought I was never going to see Abigail again, Estrada said. Monday was the first day of Sandoval's trial at the 244th Ector County District Court. Sandoval, 25, is facing one count of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon and one count of aggravated kidnapping with a deadly weapon. Assistant Ector County Attorney Henry Eccles told jurors during opening statements Sandoval and Leyva began dating in 2017 when Sandoval was 20 and Leyva 15. The two had a daughter 1 year later, but they broke up and Sandoval left the area. In March 2021, Eccles said Sandoval came back and began calling, messaging, and texting Leyva because he wanted her back. Leyva, who had another boyfriend, wasn't interested, he said. Eccles said Sandoval is facing the aggravated assault charge because on the night of March 6, 2021, and into the early morning hours of March 7, 2021, an armed Sandoval kept Leyva's brother Edward and his then-girlfriend Estrada inside their apartment, demanding to know where she was and refusing to leave. Edward Leyva and Estrada both testified Sandoval only left the apartment because he became convinced that the police were on their way after hearing sirens. The parents of a 4-year-old boy testified they were afraid Sandoval would use his gun. Estrada told jurors she secretly texted Abigail Leyva that night to warn her not to come home. Hours after she disappeared and while police continued to search for her, Estrada said Abigail Leyva arrived back to the apartment. She was terrified, she was out of breath, and she was scared, Estrada told jurors. Eccles told the jury Abigail Leyva will testify Sandoval shot the windows out of her car so he could unlock the door and kept her captive at gunpoint until she was able to get away from him in West Odessa. They'll also hear from a Odessa Police Department hostage negotiator who tried to de-escalate the situation and officers who were able to locate the victim's car after she surreptitiously sent her sister a ping from her phone, he said. Defense attorney Joanna Curry told jurors during her opening statements, prosecutors would not be able to prove their case beyond a reasonable doubt. Abigail gave so many different statements to so many different people as to what occurred. I don't know what she'll say during the trial, Curry said. She said her client had a baby with a different woman 1 year after Abigail Leyva gave birth and left Odessa for 18 months. That gave the Leyva family plenty of time to make plans for his return, Curry said, prompting a strenuous objection from the state, which was sustained by Judge James Rush. The trial is expected to resume 9 a.m. Tuesday. Local roundups. HEB kicks off holiday season with 20th annual Feast of Sharing. On Friday, thousands of Odessa residents will give thanks together and share a festive holiday meal during the 20th annual HEB Feast of Sharing dinner, a press release detailed. Hundreds of HEB and community volunteers will serve a free meal to more than 5,000 people at the Odessa dinner. The event, which is open to the public, also includes live music, entertainment, family-friendly activities, and community services. On the menu will be a Texas-style holiday meal filled with all the fixings Texans enjoy on any celebration. The event is scheduled for 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. Friday at the Ector County Coliseum in Buildings D and E. The HEB pharmacy team will provide free flu shots, which will be available while supplies last. To accommodate the community, there will be free transportation to and from the free event, provided by a partnership between organization and Easy Rider. People looking for volunteer opportunities can find more information at tinyurl.com/CJJJK4F7. Launched in 1989, HEB's Feast of Sharing regularly serves more than 340,000 meals annually in 34 cities throughout Texas and Mexico. Over the more than three decades, HEB has held these celebrations. More than 375,000 volunteers have helped serve more than 4 million meals. This initiative is an important part of HEB's Hunger Relief Program, which works year-round to prevent hunger in the more than 300 communities HEB serves. Choice Schools Application Window Open. The application window to apply for one of ECISD's Choice Schools is now open. It will remain open until January 15th. Learn more about the options and fill out the application on the Choice Schools webpage, https://www.ectorcountyisd.org/domain/178. Applications must be submitted by January 15th to be included in the February lottery. It is the goal of ECISD's Choice Schools to provide students with opportunities to explore and discover their unique strengths and abilities to positively impact their lives, a news release stated. Harmony Science Academy to host citywide math competition. Harmony Science Academy, 2755 Grandview Avenue, will host its first annual math competition from 10 a.m. to noon, January 21st. The Harmony Science Academy math competition is designed to promote a competitive academic environment with respect to mathematics. Students who participate in this competition will test their mathematical capabilities and be better prepared for middle school. The Harmony Science Academy math competition will consist of 40 multiple choice questions from various math topics aligned to TEKS with 5 tiebreaker questions. The top 5 winners will receive prizes to include ASUS TUF F17 laptop, MetaQuest 2 256 GB, 10.2 in iPad 64 GB. RYZE Tech Tello Drone, and a $50 Visa gift card. All fifth grade students in the Odessa Midland area are encouraged to join this competition. Registration is free and open until 5 p.m. January 13th. Parade of Lights winners announced. Downtown Odessa Incorporated celebrated the 27th annual Parade of Lights Saturday. Winners of the Parade of Lights were announced on Monday morning. There were more than 126 organizations registered for the parade, which included more than 300 vehicle entries. This was the largest parade to date. Odessa American Media Partners CBS7 provided a live broadcast on their news station app and Facebook live stream. The Facebook live stream was reported to have 10,000 viewers alone. Awards will be presented to each organization at 6 p.m. December 13th at the City Council meeting. This will take place at City Hall, 411 West 8th Street on the 5th floor of the city. Council Chambers. Downtown Odessa Incorporated would like to thank the City of Odessa and their many departments that helped to make this event a success, as well as Odessa College and ECISD, who played a tremendous role in this event. Individual Family, First, Old Guys Car Club, School, First, OHS Football, Second, OHS Baseball, Third OHS Cheer, nonprofit community organization. First, Odessa Lighting. Second, City of Odessa. Third, OC Tech Spirit Club. Commercial business. First, American Eagle. Second, Diamond Mobile Homes. Third, Uno Hotshot Services Corporation. Obituaries for December 6th. Eduvages Irene Ibarra Molinar, at 9:22, at age 71 years young, went to be with your Lord on November 20th, 2022. Irene was born October 27th, 1951, in Odessa. She was preceded in death by her loving parents, Bernardo B. Ibarra and Eduvages J. Ibarra. Irene is survived by her husband Thomas Molinar of San Antonio, Yvonne Granado and Jennifer of Marion, Ohio, Isikel Zeke Granado and Antonia of San Antonio, and Shauna of Odessa. She has 9 beautiful grandchildren whom she loved and adored. Irene had 3 siblings, Israel Ibarra, now deceased, Ermin Molinar and husband Albert, and Imelda Castillo, nieces and nephews. A rosary will be prayed at 11 a.m. on Friday, December 9th at St. John Newman Catholic Church, and the memorial services will be held after at 11:30 a.m. Flowers and arrangements can be sent to St. John Newman Catholic Church, 6680 Crestway Drive, San Antonio, 78239. Death notices: Lisa Diane Kevinger, 57, of Odessa, died Tuesday, November 29th in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled at 1 p.m. Wednesday, December 7th by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Michael Foster, 49, of Midland, died Thursday, December 1st in Midland. Mass will be celebrated at 1 p.m. December 9th at St. Stephen's Catholic Church in Midland. A rosary will be recited at 7 p.m. Thursday, December 8th, at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel. Arrangements are by Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Linda L. Petrie, 81, of Odessa, died November 29th in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled at 10 a.m. Thursday, December 8th, at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Burial follows at Sunset Memorial Gardens Cemetery. Pastor Wade Schultz is officiating. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Vaccine unrelated to sudden loss of hearing. Dear Dr. Roach, my friend lost hearing in one of her ears after a vertigo and dizziness spell a few months ago, when she also noted tinnitus. Her hearing issues have not resolved, unfortunately. Given some anecdotal reports of issues like this happening after receiving a COVID vaccine, she is wondering whether to get the new booster or not. She wants to, but losing hearing in her other ear would be devastating. Her doctors haven't had real answers. Any thoughts on the issue or on who to contact for a more educated answer? KLR. Answer: it sounds like your friend had sudden sensorineural hearing loss, SHL, a rare condition whose cause is not understood. The hallmarks of the illness are sudden loss of hearing in one ear, takes place over 72 hours or less, but in about half the cases, the person has woken up with hearing loss, tinnitus, noise that other people can't hear, usually a ringing or buzzing sound, which is present in 90% of people with SSHL and vertigo, a sense of movement such as spinning when the person is still in about half of the people. The tinnitus is normally present on the same side as the hearing loss. I am sure your friend has had a complete evaluation by a head and neck surgeon, otolaryngologist, early treatment with steroids and possibly antiviral medicine. Helps people regain hearing, and about 2/3 of people will regain hearing, although it may not be complete. The return of hearing begins within the first 3 months. Unfortunately, your friend is unlikely to recover, so I understand why she is concerned about anything that might increase her risk of having this on her other side. Fortunately, there is now strong evidence through clinical studies that the COVID-19 vaccines do not increase the risk of developing sensorineural hearing loss. After 185 million doses of the COVID-19 vaccines, there were no more cases of SSNL among vaccine recipients than would be expected among people who did not get the vaccine.
This is the Dear Abby column. Serial cheater boyfriend is up to his old tricks. Dear Abby, I have been with my boyfriend Robert for 10 years. We live together, and he helps me raise my preteen daughter. Recently, Robert has decided that he is entitled to privacy. He has locked me out of his computer and phone and refuses to share his passwords. Some history. Robert has cheated on me more than 20 times in the past, and with an almost encounter happening as recently as 3 months ago. Thwarted only after I saw some text messages on his phone. Last week, I discovered that he used the search term sex on a website that's notorious for facilitating random hookups. I was furious. Robert is now using my reaction to justify locking me out of his devices. I am finally putting my foot down and telling him this is the red line for me. If he doesn't allow me unrestricted access to his devices, I can no longer be in a relationship with him. He is still refusing, and so we are now at an impasse. Am I crazy? Signed, Livid in Las Vegas. Dear Livid, you are crazy if you stay in a relationship with someone who has not only cheated on you more than 20 times in the past, but is now hell-bent on continuing. You know what he is doing. You know he won't change. Access to his passwords isn't the answer. Enough already. Dear Abby, I'm a woman who is all for greater acceptance of LGBTQ people. But I wish strangers wouldn't assume an intimate relationship exists when it doesn't. On more than one occasion, I have been with a woman friend, and the nurse or proprietor has said something that implies we are partners. We're not. We're just friends assisting each other or having a meal together. It's embarrassing to be identified as something we're not. There's also no comeback to correct the misidentifications that wouldn't make the situation worse. My plea is that everyone be treated courteously without making assumptions. What do you think, Abby? Signed, Straight, but not Narrow. Dear Straight, I agree with your sentiments. It is presumptuous to assume that because two people of the same sex are socializing, that they're a couple. However, there is an effective response to correct someone who assumes you and your friend are a gay couple. All you have to do is smile and say three magic words, preferably in unison. We're just friends. Consider it an opportunity to educate. Dear Abby, my daughter went to visit her in-laws with her husband and two children. Her mother-in-law is an amazing cook. While they were having dinner, my daughter said to her, "This is so delicious. I would love to have the recipe." My mother-in-law replied, "My recipes are for family only." My daughter was deeply hurt, and their relationship has never been the same. What would be the best way to handle this cutting remark and help their relationship move forward? Signed, Not Family in California. Dear Not Family, the best way would be for your daughter's husband to tell his mother how hurtful her response was, and for the woman to apologize to your daughter and offer her the recipe because, like it or not, her daughter-in-law is family. You could write to Dear Abby at dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California. Her column is distributed by Universal Press Syndicate.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.